So, Sebastian, this is great. I got you right out of the meeting. How long ago did it end in terms of how many minutes ago?
Well, we were with the president for about an hour and a half in the social media summit, and then he invited us all to the Rose Garden, and I've just finished in the Rose Garden where he made his historic announcement about the citizenship question on the census. So I've literally just left the White House.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. How many people were at this meeting? Was it big, small?
It was 150 of the biggest social influencers originally planned. I counted 160. So, and during his speech, the president said they'd done the math. The people in the room with their various Twitter, Instagram platforms have a reach of half a billion people. So it really was the most important conservative influencers on social media.
Well, that certainly is always interesting. Of course, you know, that might be very true. It might be more, it might be less. Numbers on the internet are always kind of, you know, hard to get your brain around, but that's neither here nor there. Were you one of the few, or were there many who are currently radio talk show hosts?
I do believe I was the only radio person in the room. A lot of young people, a lot of social media personalities, alternative journalist types, but I didn't see another radio personality in there, so I guess I was the lucky one.
Well, it certainly is a good place to be. It's always nice being called to the White House. That's not new for you, though. For the sake of background, you spent the first year in the White House as a strategist.
Deputy.
For the president.
Right.
For defense. What did you do in that role, and how did that happen?
Summer of 15, during the race, I got a call from the president's then campaign manager to come and meet then candidate Trump. He was preparing for a GOP debate on national security, and he said, "Would you come to meet Mr. Trump in Trump Tower in New York?" We had a meeting, we connected, and he asked me to prepare him on national security issues for that debate. I signed a contract with the Trump Organization, and then eventually ended up on his presidential transition team, working with General Flynn, a great American patriot. And then 12 o'clock, January 20th, 2017, I became deputy assistant to the president for strategy.
And were you in that position, in a situation where you actually had to come up with strategies that were employed or made a difference in terms of American foreign policy?
Absolutely. I can't go into detail, but when it comes to specifically the Middle East, certain aspects of the global jihadi threat, China as well, I was involved with the first executive order that caused a lot of consternation amongst the fake news, which was the travel moratorium. So, yes, that was my job. Well, national security issues, and especially counterterrorism.
Well, clearly you are still in favor with the president, or he wouldn't have invited you to this very special meeting. So, as succinctly as possible, and I don't want to keep you long because, again, I appreciate you taking this time. What was the main thrust? What was the main message that the people attending this social media summit would have gotten from this? What was the takeaway? What did Trump want?
The key couple of messages from the president were that the social media giants don't believe in free speech. They promise freedom of expression on their platform, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Google, or YouTube, and they don't practice it. They don't practice what they preach. They deplatform conservatives. They demonetize people like Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager, who was called a Nazi, a fascist, by an internal email in Google we saw last week. And he's saying we need to have freedom of expression and First Amendment rights guaranteed by these platforms, or there will be consequences for these quasi-cartels and monopolies. On top of that, he said that at the end of the day, we are more powerful than they are. If you look at the reach, he said we have 500 million people can be accessed by the influencers in the room. That's more than any TV network in the world. So his message was really quite a biblical one. be not afraid.
What about the fact that there are many different people there with different backgrounds? I mean, the word we gives the indication that there was this political unanimity among everybody. Did you feel that way? Did you feel a kinship with everybody in that room? Or were there people there that you would rather have not maybe appeared in photographs with?
You know, there are people in that room who I vehemently disagree with on certain issues, especially certain people who have a propensity to peddle conspiracy theories. But the president actually joked about this. He said, look, I don't care who's in this room. I don't care if you're a liberal, an independent, or a conservative. The issue is freedom of speech and lack of censorship. So, no, it was a rather heterogeneous group of people, but it was people who really believe that one of the key building blocks of our nation, the greatest nation on earth, is freedom of speech.
How did some of them react to being there? I would imagine they have different levels of sophistication, because going to the White House can be a very, very exciting experience. What was it like on a human?
It never gets ordinary. When I worked in the White House, I pinched myself every day. But yeah, a couple of people. I saw one person wearing a sneakers, another person wearing jeans. So I was in a three-piece suit. But hey, that's the beauty of America. But it wasn't your average White House summit. But then again, this isn't your average president. This is a man who is a non-politician. There's a reason that 63 million Americans chose a non-politician for the most powerful position in the world.
All right, as we wrap it up. Finish what you're saying.
My phone's going to die, so just we got to be quick.
Okay, final question. I want to catch you while it's fresh in your mind. You mentioned that he talked about the his latest maneuver in terms of the census question. What did you get from that? Because I've got you right here in time.
Yeah, so we moved from the east room of the White House to the Rose Garden for his historic press conference with Attorney General Barr and the Secretary of Commerce standing next to him. And it was pure genius. The logic that Barr explicated was perfect. They have every right. Even the Supreme Court has said that it is absolutely reasonable to ask people whether they are a citizen or not in a census. That is the point of the census, to measure population. But if they try to include it after the latest decision, they will be stymied and blocked again at lower court. So in the interest of getting things done, the president said he's issued an executive order, and the measurement of who is in this country, legally or illegally, will be done by all of the departments in the U.S. government that have databases that are relevant to such a sociological demographic measurement. And so we will probably get a more accurate measure of the reality in the United States today than if we just relied upon the census. It's a classic Trump solution. Fix the problem, get it done, be pragmatic. And that's exactly what we heard today.